Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
We didn't finish your tie-up. We kind of bring them out on Sunday night in more of a Bible study context, and we kind of have a camp meeting, Bible study, expository preaching, prophetic gifts of the Spirit service on Sunday morning. Amen. So whatever you like, there'll be something for you in that service. Whatever you don't like, there'll probably be something of that too. Not that it's not biblical, it's just that some people don't like certain things. We don't do anything unbiblical. Believe it or not, there's biblical precedence for all that we do here. Someone dances before the Lord, David did that. Didn't you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, it's just, he did. If someone speaks in tongues, that's not a new thing to Scripture. Amen. It was common in the New Testament. Matter of fact, it was a sign not only to the unbeliever, but to the Jews who had believed that God had given grace to the Gentiles. It didn't just happen on the day of Pentecost. It happened over at Cornelius' house. Can you say amen? So that wasn't something just to prove that the Bible is true or for a special time and a special people. It was just the commonplace thing to happen when you were totally surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. You just got filled with the Holy Spirit, because that means filled with and controlled by. And it went way beyond just talking in another language. When a man speaketh in an unknown tongue, he doesn't talk to men. He talks to God. Well, on the day of Pentecost, they heard them in their own language. Amen? It was a sign to those men. But Paul said there's other expressions of tongues where man doesn't understand it. He said, in fact, there's expressions that my understanding is unfruitful, but the Holy Spirit is praying through me. Amen. And he's not just praying according to my will, but according to the will of God. Hallelujah. How many know if you ask anything according to his will, he hears us? So if you don't know how to pray, the Bible said men don't always know how to pray as they ought. Amen. How many know that no matter how many prayer seminars you might have been to or how many tapes on prayer you got, you don't always know. You know why you don't always know? Because he is a God that is so high above us. And say, somebody say how? Well, the writer in Scripture said it's as far as the heavens are above the earth. Amen. So if he decides to reveal something to you, you'll know it. But if he doesn't, you're not going to know it. And when you don't know, it's time to give place to the Holy Spirit and let him loose in prayer. We need to pray in the Spirit, building up yourself in your most holy faith. Well, turn with me back to Lamentations 3, and let's talk about God's faithfulness, faith's anchor. I'm so glad it's God's faithfulness in the time of trial. And we're going to talk about that a little later, but I just want to begin with that particular issue tonight. Amen. The Bible said no temptation has taken you, while you're turning to Lamentations 3, 17 through 23. There's no temptations taking you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, but God is faithful, but God is faithful. And boy, a good study to do is the but God scriptures, how God makes a difference in everything in your life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So many things would overwhelm us and overcome us except for the Lord's personal intervention, his gracious intervention in our life. I'm so glad when I'm tempted, it is not my resolve to overcome that is so vital to my victory. It is my trust in his faithfulness. Amen. To his own nature and his own character. Paul talked about that in terms of now I'm trusting in him, but if tomorrow I deny him, it won't change him. It'll change my relationship to him, but it won't change him. If I deny him, he cannot deny himself, but he remains, and this is intrinsic to his holiness and his purity. He couldn't be who he is and not have this characteristic and attribute. He remains faithful. Isn't it good to know that he remains faithful? If we are not faithful, it won't change him. I'm glad he's not like people. You know, you do something to them, they do something back to you. God's not like that. Amen? He's a God of justice, but he's not a God that just reacts and responds to your faults and failures by wanting to beat on you. Amen? However, he does chasten his children. But there's a difference in abusing your children and chastening your children. Because abuse is to hurt and to harm, and chastening is to instruct and to help. And all of God's chastisement is full proof of his love. It's not something. If you're a real child of God and you decide that you just want to go headstrong and do your own thing, God's not going to just turn you loose. He will find a way. You say, well, I've done that for a long time. Well, someone said one time, the wheels of God turn slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. There will come a day when you will come face to face with a God that says, if I let you go your way, I'll lose you. But if I move to stop you, I'll save you. And I love you too much to let you go your own way. I don't want to say that to make people fearful. I want people to know God is faithful. God is faithful even to chastise his children. And all of this is an expression of love. Amen. So I just want to, in the time of temptation, no temptation has taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to bear, who will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Can you say amen? Thank God our faithfulness is not based on our resolve to be faithful, but our trust in his faithfulness to give us grace, mercy, and strength, and wisdom, and understanding to overcome. Can you say amen? Otherwise, none of us would make it through these things. If you're overcoming and you think your faith has put you over, amen, I got news for you. Amen, your God put you over. It was his faithfulness. If you're standing, God has been faithful to you more than you being faithful to him. Amen. If I have a reputation of being faithful to God, it's because God has been so extremely, extraordinary faithful to me. And I have trusted his faithfulness. And that's, you find that in all the victorious men and women of the Bible. Paul said, not that we are anything of ourselves. Our sufficiency, he said, is not of ourselves, but it is of God. How many has discovered just having the Holy Ghost alone, in and of itself, in terms of just the power of the, how many know, remember when we Pentecostals were on our just power trip, everything was power? I mean, everything was power. When we sing about the blood of Jesus, there's not just power in the blood anymore, it's power in the blood. And boy, if you get going real fast, you can get three powers in if you're quick. Remember we say there's power, wonder working, the power, you know, it's kind of like power, and we got all excited. But then, you know, our trials and tests kind of brought us back down to the realities that we need to come before the throne of grace to obtain grace and mercy. And aren't you glad grace and mercy was there for you when you needed it? When you were not so strong in faith and you were not singing power in the blood with the power. Can you say, man, that the power was still in the blood to provide for you a throne of grace that you could come to and obtain what God is faithful to give, and that's grace and mercy. And listen, grace and mercy is not for people that merit something. It's for people that can't do it on their own. Mercy, amen, is, how's that little saying go? Grace gives you what you do. I forget it. I'll get that later. If I try to get into that, it won't work right. Amen. But grace and mercy, grace is giving you what you don't deserve. Amen. And mercy's not giving you what you do deserve. Think about that a minute. You don't deserve heaven. But through the blood of Jesus, if you're a Christian, you're going to get heaven. Amen. That's grace. Unmerited favor. You're saved by grace. Not of works, lest any man should boast. What is mercy then? Where does mercy come in? You deserve judgment. But mercy doesn't give you what you deserve. Grace gives you what you don't deserve, and mercy doesn't give you what you do deserve. And let me tell you something, folks, you need both of them. You need what you don't deserve, and you don't need what you do deserve. Isn't that incredible? How many's ever had an evil thought? You deserve justice, but God gives you mercy if you come to him. Amen. None of us will ever stand in sinless perfection, but we can come before a throne of grace and mercy. And why is that grace and mercy there? Because Jesus relates to us. He feels what we feel. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He never condones any wrong, but he knows our tendency and propensity for it. And he comes to us. If we get right and real with God, God will come to us and help us overcome. All of heaven lines up behind anybody that determines to do the will of God in their life. All of heaven's resources. I can't do it. When I say, Lord, thy will be done in earth, and I include myself, which is the primary person of that prayer, can not just in the globe, in the cosmos, in the continent, in the world, but in me, Lord. Amen? Thy will be done as it is in heaven. That's a mouthful to say. Can you say amen? Because God wills that I hold my peace when I need to. God wills that I love my enemies. God wills that I turn the other cheek. Amen? God wills that I rejoice in him always in all circumstances, and I'm thankful to him in all things. God's will that I keep my mind stayed on Him and not let it wander and be distracted. God's will is that when I'm compelled to go a mile, I go twain. I'm not vengeful or retaliatory. Hello? God's will is that I tell others about Him. Amen? Can't do that without God's help. But if you determine to start doing God's will, you're going to have God's help. Because He's faithful. Amen? He's faithful. Listen to Lamentations 3 for about the umpteenth time. And thou hast removed, verse 17 through 23, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said my strength and hope is perished from the Lord. See, I'm glad God's faithful, even when you get down into that condition. I'm glad God is still faithful. He doesn't abandon you when you are in a wavering, shaky condition. Now, if this was all based on a confession, whether he got it or not, totally on his ability to confess the right thing, he'll never get it. He's automatically disqualified. Because he said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. It looks like God isn't going to come through. It looks like God has abandoned Israel. That's the way he felt. And he was honest about it. Boy, I'm glad God is faithful. I'm glad it didn't all hinge on Jeremiah. Because corrective judgments are in the land. And boy, I don't know if that lightens your load or not, but I'm glad it's not all on my back. I'm glad if I have a bad day, he's still faithful. Now, I can't go on with that attitude. I got to change my attitude. But God's not going to run off and say, if you can't take the heat, stay out of the kitchen. And if you can't get it just right, you can forget about me. Amen. You can turn that thing around. Can you say amen? By concentrating on his faithfulness. Because he is faithful. But you got to be honest about how you feel, because God knows it's in your heart anyway, whether you say it with your mouth or not. God knows what's in your heart. In fact, if you say the right thing and it's not true in your heart, God isn't going to listen to it anyway. But if you say the truth from your heart and you're honest before the Lord is faithful to help people like that. You ought to read the Psalms sometimes. Sometimes David just said, Lord, how long? You know, he expressed his impatience to the Lord. He wasn't accusing God. He's just saying, I feel this angst. I feel this anxiety. I feel this impatience coming up inside of me. And one time he talked to himself and said, soul, why art thou disquieted in me? Why did you let yourself get into this shape? Hope thou in God. And there again he was pointing at his faithfulness, for he shall yet be the health of thy countenance. God has never failed is what David was saying, and he will come through if you'll just keep trusting in him to come through and not in yourself to stand strong so much as God to strengthen you. Can you say amen? And God to get you through. You're a fearfully and wonderfully made individual. You are integrated, spirit, soul, and body, but they're all integrated. You can't compartmentalize it. You can't say, I feel bad out here in my soulish man and my mental man and emotional man, but, you know, I got victory in my spirit. That's like saying, you know, I can sin out here in the flesh, but it won't affect my spirit. Honey, this is too interconnected for one not to affect the other. You can't go on with a bad attitude for long until you're going to begin to lose spiritual victories. Can you say amen? You got to get your hope back. You got to get your faith back active. I have to do that. Praise God. But the good news is that you can call upon the Lord. And you know what I love about God's faithfulness? I love about the fact that I love the, you know, prayer. There's a place for prayer. But there's a place for that cry unto the Lord. Amen? David said, I cried unto the Lord. And here, I'm not talking about bawling. I'm not talking about, although you may weep in prayer. I'm talking about calling out to God. It's like a desperate, God, help me. I cried unto the Lord. And some people interpret that as a lack of faith. You've got to be so confident that you never cry out. You're always just on that even keel. Listen, David said, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. You know what caused him to cry out? The fear that was about to captivate him. Amen. Because of the circumstances of his life. And he said, I cried out to the Lord. He heard me and he delivered me from my fears. So the issue with David was not never being afraid, but going to God when he was afraid and having God console him and comfort him with his faithfulness. Amen. And somehow let him know that he would bring him through. Isn't that incredible? I cried unto the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And it brought a love relationship because God had been so faithful to David through his ups and downs and his failures and his successes. God had been faithful to David. When David would go to God, God would listen. And he said, I love the Lord. Why? because he was faithful when I cried unto him. I love the Lord because he heard my cry. I love the Lord because he heard my prayer. Amen. Because it's a throne of grace, isn't it, that we have come to obtain what? Grace and mercy. You get what you don't deserve, and you don't get what you do deserve at that throne. So if you've got any idea that you finally arrived at a place that you're good enough to have an audience with this holy God, you're wrong. The only way you can come to him is through the veil of Christ's flesh. Amen. You can only come into God's presence because of the blood, shed blood of his son. But because of the shed blood of his son, you can receive grace and mercy to help you in the time of your need. So don't just start looking for your need met first. Look for the grace and mercy that's going to provide the need so you can have faith to trust God for the need. Can you say amen? You don't get your body healed first, you get grace and mercy. You don't get your mind helped. You don't get your emotions healed. Amen. Just by saying, heal my mo, you come to get grace and mercy from a God who is abundant in both. He giveth more grace and he's abundant in mercy. Can you say amen? God's faithfulness is faith's anchor. There's nothing else that will anchor your soul. Because you're integrated. You're emotional. You're in a body that is faulty. You have a mind that has to constantly be renewed. You have a spirit that's been regenerated. But folks, when you're going through emotional lows, you're going to feel it. Does anybody here know that? I can't really stand to be around people that are fronting. I don't see it as being real. I see it as putting on a front. Amen. So absolutely convinced that they have it all together, that they actually say things like, I don't have problems, I only have solutions. Can't you imagine that David saying that, looking at this giant, or Hezekiah, when they were surrounded by an enemy? They had a problem. Asa said, we don't know what to do. And Hezekiah said the same thing. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on thee. And the moment he said that, a prophet stood up and said, thou shalt not have to fight at all in this battle, for the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Can you say amen? Amen. That kind of faith is disqualified. We're supposed to have it together. We're biblically astute. We know what the scriptures say. We claim the promises. We're always in the know. No, you know who got the greatest victories in all of the Bible? People said, hey, we don't know what to do. Amen. We're at a total loss. Amen. But that doesn't mean we're not going to have victory, because we got a God who does know what to do, and he's faithful to his covenant. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We don't know how to fight. He said, we don't know how to go out against this great army. We don't know what to do. We don't have any strength. We don't have a plan. And we don't have a clue. But our eyes are on you. You know what God wants as an expression of your faith? He just wants you to look to him. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. The prophet stood up right at the moment, just at the very precise moment, he said, but our eyes are on you. Up jumps a prophet in the audience and says, thou shalt not have to fight in this battle, for the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Now go get the singers. I like it when they send the choir instead of the preacher out. Anyway, moving right along. Said, preacher, anyway, it's a greater glory to God when the choir does it sometimes. So if we need a devil cast out, I'll probably say, go ahead and start singing. Just circle him and start singing. Maybe not. Hallelujah. God is good, but you could do it. I'm telling you, amen, it's all in the authority of the name of Jesus, not something in you and me other than him and the power of God. Listen to this. This is good. He said, my strength and hope has perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Literally, wormwood is a metaphor for bitter calamity and sorrow. And this word, he said, my soul still hath them in remembrance and is humbled within me, which means to bow down, to sink down, a depression of the mind. A depression of the mind. So many things in life can cause you to sink down into a depression of the mind. Now here is Jeremiah experiencing these things, because he's preached without success. He's preached and God's people have not turned. The enemies of Israel have taken over Israel. Amen. They're now captive, a captive people. And it appears that God has abandoned Israel, and rightfully so, because of their rebellion. But he recalls this to mind, and recaptured and recovered his hope. Everybody say hope. Everybody say the glad anticipation of future good. That's how it's used in Scripture. Amen. It's not hoping for the best, which means I don't know really what's going to happen, but I'm just going to keep hope alive. No, this is a certain hope. Can you say amen? Everybody say the glad anticipation and the glad expectation of future good. Old Roberts used to come on the radio when I was just a boy, and they would come on with a theme song that for years was a theme song for the Old Roberts Ministries. Would you like to hear it? I love to hear it. Something, no matter what your condition was in life, he had a message of hope. Amen. Something good is going to happen to you. Happen to you this very day. Something good is going to happen to you, because Oral Roberts is going to put up his tent and he's coming your way. No, because Jesus of Nazareth is passing your way. Sing it with me. Something good is going to happen to you. Happen to you this very day. Something good is going to happen to you, for Jesus of Nazareth is passing your way. Hallelujah. Amen. Hope. Hope. I recall this to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. To what? To this character of mercy and love and compassion. Great is thy faithfulness. We've been unfaithful as a nation, but you are faithful. And a day came when God turned the captivity of Zion. Can you say amen? Didn't he do it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't he a good God to do that? That's because he is faithful to his nature of love. He's faithful to his covenant of love. He's faithful to his hasid, his mercy in his heart. And he didn't give them what they deserved when he turned the captivity of Zion. And he did give them what they did not deserve. He gave them grace, favor, that didn't come from merit on their part, but mercy and goodness on his part. There are situations in life that can be overwhelming to the point of hopelessness. Circumstances that have the potential to crush us under the weight of the burden. It's in these times when faith needs an anchor. And it can't be anchored in your feelings. It can't be anchored in your performance and your ability to stand and never say what this man said. I feel abandoned. I feel pressed down. I feel oppressed. You know what I love about God? God can handle that and still be God and still be good and still love you. And if you cry to him, amen, when you feel that way, he'll still listen. You know what David said? I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? He heard me and he delivered me from the thing that was causing me to cry out to him, from the fear that was gripping me, strangling my faith and my hope. God heard me and delivered me from that. I love the Lord because he hears my prayer. I love the Lord, he said, because he hears my voice. I love the Lord because he hears my cry, turning his ear always to me. That's the faithfulness of God. No matter what circumstance David was in, God was faithful. And he said, I love him because he's so faithful. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen and amen. I can't hardly stand. It makes my hair stand up. My toenails curl. And you've never seen my curly toenails, have you? Amen. I hear people, preachers telling people a message that almost puts it all on them. They got their burdens. They got their flesh to deal with. They got all this stuff to deal with instead of telling them how faithful he is and that he will hear their cry. Amen. That the weakest Christian on his knees is a mighty man of God. Can you say amen? Oh, you didn't hear me today. I said the weakest Christian on his knees is a mighty man of God or woman of God. Hallelujah. Because you're going to begin to tap into that faithfulness to show mercy and grace.
Woo! We're trying to merit by faith now. We know we can't morally merit these answers. Now we're going to merit it by faith. By our great faith, we're going to have merit to get the answer. No, you don't have merit in any sense. You got mercy to get your answers. Can you say amen? Faith takes hold of His mercy. How'd the blind man get healed? By saying, Jesus, You the man. And I got the need. My faith going to reach out and grab you, man, and get my need. Man. I said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Woo! Thy mercies are new every morning. Thy compassions fail not. Son of David, have mercy on me. Why, if we give him some tapes, he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't cry out that way. He made an appeal to something that is so much a part of God's being, amen, that Jesus stopped in his tracks. Because of that man's great faith? No, because of his great faithfulness to show mercy to them that see that virtue in him and connect their faith to his faithfulness to show it and to give it. Can you say amen? Son of David, I'm believing you from my side. No, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped dead in his tracks and says, bring that man to me. Woo, it's good when God meets you like that in prayer. That man that knows something about me and my character and my nature and has hope that things are going to change in his life because of who I am. Hallelujah. Not what he can merit through his faith, but what I can do for him because of my faithfulness to be merciful to those that cry out to me. Hallelujah. Son of David, what? When's the last time you've been to a faith seminar where they said, I want to teach you how to cry out to God for his mercy? Oh, no, that's all wrong. You don't cry out to God for his mercies. You got to merit your answer by demonstrating great faith. Remember the guy they put up? How merciful Jesus was. I mean, they take a guy up on the roof. They want to get him healed. They know we got to get him into the presence of Jesus. And they start tearing off the roof. And I mean, they're just working hard as they can just to get him to Jesus. Just get him in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because they knew something about the Lord. Hey, amen. His compassions fail not. Can you say, man, his faithfulness was there. Glory be to God. I want to hook people up to God's faithfulness to be merciful and show compassion to them. To where when it's all right to cry before him. You don't have to stand up there so stalwart and be threatened with not getting an answer if you don't just stand on that fine line, you know. Amen. This man wasn't on no fine line. He said, I can express fully my feelings. It hurts to see Israel like this. It hurts to feel like God is abandoned. When I think about these things, it sours down in my stomach. But I recall this to mind. The God I serve is faithful. Hey, even though I can't see and can't feel it at the moment. I'm being real and honest with my emotions, but God isn't changed by my negative emotions. Amen. God is still God, and He's still in covenant with Israel. And I'm going to bring this back to focus, and it's going to give me hope. Hallelujah. And I'm coming up out of this pit. I went through nervous exhaustion, and when I heard messages on how strong I had to stand in order for God to help me, it was disqualifying me. Everywhere I turned, I was disqualified. From trusting God. Because if I was trusting God, I wouldn't be in this condition. I'm going to tell you something. I have great compassion. I went to Polk City, and Tom Young drove me to Polk City to preach by invitation. I don't go out much, but that's one of the times I did go out and preach. And I got into my message, and halfway through my message, the Lord just shut me down. He just flipped the switch and said, you tell them your testimony. And I started talking about what I had been through and how faithful God had been to take me through. And I said, I know this is not supposed to happen to Christians, particularly preachers, but it happened to me. And I know it's my fault. I'm not faulting God or people or circumstances. I didn't trust as fully as I should have, and the burden became so heavy I couldn't bear it. But I want you to know God was faithful to me. Hallelujah. God was still faithful to me. When I couldn't stand strong in myself, He strengthened me. He helped me. He cradled me. He picked me up. He carried me. I was the cast sheep that couldn't get up. The good shepherd came looking for me. He didn't run from me. He ran to me.
Amen? Amen? You know what a cast sheep is? Cast sheep is a sheep that's fallen down, and because of the weight of his wool, he can't ride himself. A sheep becomes like a turtle if his wool hasn't been shorn in a long time. He can't get up, and his heart begins to race. It's just a few hours until he would go into shock and die. The pressure of his own weight and his heart rate and his panic will kill him, amen, unless the shepherd comes. He can't ride himself, amen. Oh, thank God I don't have to stand strong to be qualified for his strengthening help in my life. But the shepherd comes and sets him up on his feet. If he's too weak to walk, he throws him over his shoulders and carries him back to the safety of the flock. The shepherd doesn't run from cast sheep. He runs to them. Amen. He counts them, thy rod and thy staff, thy comfort me. Amen. One of the uses of the rod was as they came in, if he had 100 sheep, he counted as they came through. 88, 89, 90, 91, 97, 98, 99. Uh-oh. Where's Pamela? Where's that old Pamela? That old Pamela probably laying up on that hillside on her back. Excuse my wife. She's very sensitive tonight. Ruth, tell her it gets better. After a while, you just accept it. It's okay. Where is young Pamela? She's laying up on the hillside on her back and can't get up. Oh, if she just stayed on her feet, that wouldn't have happened to her. If she'd just been strong, that would have happened. If she hadn't just been messing around and got distant from me, I could have saw her immediately. But she's laying on her back up there. Well, you know, she's not manifesting faith. She's not standing strong in faith. And now the devil can have at her. The wolf can come if he wants. The bear can come. She can't even move to defend herself. No, he said the good shepherd leaves the 99. And I know we've got a little group of people. We're not supposed to get that excited. It's supposed to be a little off night. Amen. This is Sunday night. But I feel this thing. He leaves the 99. And he comes after that one with the trouble. One with the problem. One that is cast down. Can you say amen? And the Bible said he won't rest till he finds it. So when you feel like God has abandoned you, what's really happening is your feelings have become a barrier. Your emotions have become a barrier to the spiritual reality of his faithfulness, love, and mercy. And it means that God's primary concern is you, who you think he has no concern over. And heaven seems so brass. No, it's you got it all wrong. The Bible said you're the one he's concerned about. He's not concerned about that shouting guy on the platform, that shouting lady in the pew. He's concerned about you. Concerned enough to seek you till he finds you. Isn't that incredible? So you don't have to beat down heaven's doors with meritorial faith. I cried unto the Lord. Woo! Let me run it by you again. I cried unto the Lord. And he said, listen, that's not how you pray. You don't cry out in desperation or cry out in desperate need. You stand and confess your claim, your problem. Listen, I cried unto the Lord. Woo! Say it again. I cried unto the Lord and delivered me from all of my fears. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, I want you to see prayer as something God loves to hear and loves to answer. Not as something that you merit. You understand where merit comes in? Anything that gives you merit will not bring you to the throne of grace to obtain grace and what? Mercy. To help in the time of any need. We've come to the place we think we can build our faith till we merit the answer because of our faith. So if we don't have faith, we don't merit the answer. Great faith I'm talking about. You know it. And that eliminates so many people that are cast sheep tonight. I want to tell them about a God that will listen. I want to tell them about a God that loves. I want to tell him something else, and this gets a little theological. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but it's one of those things that's so real and clear to me in Scripture is that you can have doubts and fears and frustrations and agitation and wavering in your soul and still have faith in your spirit. But the soulish man, inflamed by all the circumstances of life, kind of compartmentalizes that, and you can't get in touch with it. That's why Paul told discouraged Timothy. See, you think if you got faith, you'll never be discouraged. That's wrong, because you have a soul. You have a seat of the will and the emotions are flaky. They're like a roller coaster. Can you say, man? And there are circumstances that can absolutely put you where this man was in the book of Lamentations. Hey, he wasn't the only one. You say, well, that's where the Holy Ghost was given, and these revelations in the New Testament. Paul said, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble that we experienced down in Asia. Listen, it touched their emotions and their mentality. The pressure, prolonged, unrelenting, over a long period of time, took its toll on Paul. He said, listen, are you ready for this? He said, I would not have you, brethren, to be ignorant of the trouble we experienced in Asia, how we were pressed beyond measure, and we despaired of life itself, that we might learn not to trust in ourselves. Everybody say, great is this faithfulness. Not to trust in ourselves. Our meritorial faith, our ability to stand so strong, amen, but to trust in God who raises the dead. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Great is thy faithfulness. You put that meritorial faith trip on people. If you become a cast sheep and you can't get up and stand strong, you can't get your answer. Now you're a prey to the lion and the wolf and the bear. But I'm telling you, he leaves the 99. And he goes after the one that is lost. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about lost from the fold. I'm not talking about the pagan world. I'm talking about the child of God that's having struggles and problems. We're talking about a sheepfold here. You don't get in that till you come to Christ. Amen. And the covenant people, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that was always related to the covenant people, not to the pagan world. They didn't have a part in that at that time. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Say it with me again real quick. Great is thy faithfulness. Let me read this from just a paraphrase, and listen to it. It clarifies some things. Peace has been stripped away, and I've forgotten what prosperity is. I cry out, my splendor is gone. Everything I had hoped for from the Lord is lost. That's how he felt. That's what the circumstances dictated. The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet, I still dare to hope, and I remember this. The unfailing love of the Lord never ends. By his mercies, we've been kept from complete destruction. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every day. Literally, they're new every morning. Amen? And it's the same Hebrew word, new, that David talked about in Psalm 51. When he cried unto the Lord for this renewal and this refreshing from the Lord. And this with a repentant heart, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew. Hallelujah, a right spirit in me. Can you say, man? And all of that is touching the faithfulness of God to show grace and mercy, because David didn't deserve what God was going to grant him. How many know? You ever read the story of David, what he did? He didn't deserve that. Amen. He didn't deserve anything near what God gave him. Amen. He deserved, if justice had been administered, David would have been killed by some assassin. David would have been abandoned by his friends. David would have been killed in battle. Hey, but he wasn't. He died a great king because of God's faithfulness to show him grace and mercy in the time of his need. Isn't that incredible about God? How many know we need to discover that? You don't come on your merit. You come on his mercy. Faithfulness, this word which means firmness, fidelity, steadiness, steadfastness. This word pictures God as one upon whom we can depend. We can be sure as we face the storms and trials and valleys of life, God will ever prove himself to be steadfast and faithful to you and me. To put it very simply, you can count on the Lord, no matter what. If you're his child and you're sincere before him, you can count on him no matter what. Amen? Will you stand to your feet? God has said something here tonight. Hallelujah. He's spoken something here tonight. Has He spoken to you at all? Have you heard a voice speaking to you? Number 7, I think. You got one. You got one. You need one. All right. Praise God. Number 7, probably good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 7's God's perfect number. It's got to be a good song. All Christian artists put that hit on number 7 on the list. Not really. God is good. Where would we be without Jesus? Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. People make fun of that song. They better quit. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Blind Bartimaeus said, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped in his tracks and said, bring that man to me. And when blind Bartimaeus got before him, he said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? He said, yes, Lord, I do believe that. But it's not just your ability that his faith appealed to, but his mercy. His compassion's what? They fail not. That response, right? Hey, I don't think there's anybody in here that doubts God has the power to do it for you. But does he have the compassion? Does he have the love? Do you feel like a failure? Do you feel like your faith has been broken to the point or shaken to the point that God won't listen? You're wrong. You're the one that is the object of his intense love and desire to help tonight. Praise God. The one that, if there are certain books about the Bible written by good intended preachers that haven't walked in deep valleys yet, and they don't know what it is to be in a valley and have God hear you just on the basis of His own mercy and not on your merit, even the merit of your faith. Guarantee you, if you get some guys out of their limos, get them out of their penthouses, get them out of the white hot spotlight with so much adulation from so many people, and get them down into a deep dark valley where David was at times in his life, hallelujah, where Paul was at times of his life, and they discover the grace of God. It brings a humility and a gratefulness and a thanksgiving and an understanding of the character and the nature of a good and loving God that fails not. And they won't just teach you to be strong, but teach you how to trust. How to trust the Lord, who is so trustworthy because His compassions fail. So many times Jesus would be moved by compassion. Can you say amen? Oh, hey, we think faith moves God. Listen, compassion moves God. This is God is love. It's faith in His love and compassion. How do you know God's going to listen, Brother Venable? Because when I cried out for salvation, He heard me. Hallelujah. I didn't have nothing to offer Him. I didn't have great faith. I didn't have anything. All I had was sin and rebellion and a desperate need for forgiveness. And I came to Him and He listened. Why did He listen? Because He loved me before I even came to Him. He loved me before I knew Him. Praise God. He commended His love in that He... I really... I'm not just able to keep you from falling. I'm willing to keep you from falling. I will not let you fall if you'll just trust me, saith the Lord. I'm not asking you to stand strong. I'm asking you to believe that I am the God of all flesh, and nothing's too hard for me, and I'm the Lord God of Israel, and I change not, and my compassions are as fresh in your morning as they were in the morning of Jeremiah all those years ago, saith God. And my grace upon your nation is no less than my grace upon my nation, yea, saith God. I love thee, and I care for thee, and I watch over thee, and I will guide thee with mine eye, and I will help thee in that right early. Trust in me, rest in me, lean upon me, and love me for loving you so much, saith God. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise tonight. Woo! I feel like I'm nestled down in a captain's chair in Sean's Toyota. watching Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your enemy has counted on the fact that you would not look to me like you are right now, saith God. Your enemy was counting on you looking within yourself. But yea, you've looked beyond yourself to the God that promised to never leave you. And your enemy even now is falling back, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what David said in Psalm 57? He said, the day that I pray, my enemies turn back. For this I know God is for me. And they have to recognize that. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. We're trying to close this service, but it's a hard one to close. Hallelujah. Praise God. Itoroboro po hasanda da meki. Yesholobore. Nanda da bakita da da. Shedamani tikui. Nanda reba. O shotorobo koshalamari. E kalama sitia. E shalamanti. Nitarabo kor babaha sitianda. Mitorobo kore. Nende da ba salapati tata. Bimba brosa. Talamaki la manantanda. Yesholabakita da. Nanama siti. Neto rabahasi. Let's give him praise one more time. I feel it well enough. Let's just give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 This is going to be a victorious people because we trust his faithfulness. David said, you know something? His loving kindness is better than life. You've sung it, but now you're getting ready to experience it. You've sung it with an understanding in your mind, but now you're going to get it in your heart and into your life. Hallelujah. David said, thy loving kindness has made me great. Not my merit, not my abilities, my agilities, my perfect morality. None of these things made me great. Only God's mercy has made me great. Hallelujah. Halamun kita dobo shalamarite brashalabakita dada nenda dada makita da. David talked of himself. He said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard me and delivered me from all of my trouble. He torobokora shalamanite. He lifted me from the miry clay. He put my feet upon the rock. The humble shall hear thereof, and they will be glad, he said, of his praise to God. The humble, like Jeremiah, and the broken in spirit will hear there's hope in God, and they will take the glad anticipation of future good into their own life. Hallelujah. I'm supposed to be discouraged and disgusted to the point of quitting God and quitting the ministry, but I'm neither. God is faithful, and I will declare it to a multitude, and I'll declare it to a small group of people. Amen. I will declare it, amen, anywhere I can, whenever I can. God is faithful, and I'll especially shout it in the face of my enemies. Hallelujah, the devil. God is faithful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's shout it out tonight. God is faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to try once more. The God of the universe. The God of the universe has set His love on you. Don't be foolish and slow of heart to believe. For the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, has set His love upon you and set His heart upon you for good. Hallelujah. Woo! The maker of heaven and earth has set His heart on you. Set His heart on me. What glory, Sister Pamela. What glory. Hallelujah. 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 Sholomanite. Nikola. Mosholamanite. Kasholamanite. Nitanamakite. Nite. Lamentations. He went on to say, the Lord is my portion. Ha shala. Kino no namosata. He's my life. Ha. He's the strength of my life. Hallelujah. Moses put it this way. The Lord is my strength and He's my song and He's become my salvation, my deliverance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it didn't start out at just trusting Him for deliverance, but His strength and then His song and then His salvation. Can you say amen? I guarantee you when God strengthens His people and we begin to be raised up, amen, through the strength that He gives by His grace and mercy to us, amen, we're going to have a song of praise for Him. Hallelujah. That's going to cause demons to fall back and tremble when we sing it. Hallelujah. And with the high praises of God in our mouth, hand that thing to me, it's time for it. With the high praises of God in my mouth, with the high praises of God in my mouth, with the high praises of God in my mouth. Oh, because when I do that, amen, faith puts a weapon in my hand. You didn't hear me. I said with the high praises of God in my mouth. And with a sword in my hand. Kings and princes are going to be bound with fetters of iron. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because now I can take the sword of the Spirit, which is the sure word of God, and I can mix faith with it, and it becomes a mighty weapon against my enemy. Everything in the armament is defensive, but one weapon, and it is offensive, and it's the mighty sword of the Spirit. Can you say amen? Woo! Hallelujah. Thank God I didn't stick this in my foot. This is the real thing. It ain't plastic, folks. Neither is God's victories. Can you say amen? I knew we'd need this some night. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, that this was on video. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, when you pick up the Word of God by faith, this is what the devil sees. going to reach out to the oppressed, and I'm going to reach out to the cast down, and I'm going to reach out to those of my children that have been judged by others as not being victorious people, and I'm going to raise them up, and I'm going to make them victorious. Yea, and I'm going to be glorified, because everyone will know it is me and my mercy that has done this great thing, saith God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we are going to be a Cave of Adullam church. People are going to come here cast down, but God's going to help them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shelobokone salamanite. I prepared my king for Israel in that cave. I prepared the great army of Israel that no enemy could stand against in that cave. In that cave where a man ran for his life. In that cave where oppressed and depressed people came. Yea, in that cave I prepared the men of valor and the leaders of the armies of Israel in that cave. I prepared my king in that cave. I prepared his army, saith the Lord. In that cave where my future king was so discouraged, in that cave, Jonathan strengthened his hand in me. And he told him, your God is faithful. And you will not die, but live and glorify him. And yea, against all the odds and all the obstacles, was it not so, saith the Lord. Shilabakisana, Shilabatita, Rambambabaha Siti Andada, Kelabadina na Salabadi Tetada Bakata, Nesholobo Tetada Masiti Anda. God's faithfulness brought him out of that cave. Hallelujah. Shikarabatita na Makataya, Moshalabadinte, No Tarabakite. Hallelujah. 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 Let's try one more time to close this service. Hallelujah. What a great... Are you glad you came to Sunday night? Was it worth the effort? Was it worth pushing past our flesh? Amen. I know I'm tired too. And we're going to try to fix that so we're not as tired. And we'll try some things to help us not be drug out. Because when y'all have a practice on a day like today, you're in church about 6 hours. And I know Monday is really rough when you got to get up and hit it. But I am grateful to you. Be patient and persistent. Let's press on in and see what the Lord will do for us. Can you say amen? He's going to help us. He's going to help us. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight. Lord, I just hate to come out from under this heavy anointing that I feel right now. But it's so good to know when I come out from under this anointing, that faithful God is still right with me as close as you are while I'm preaching in the glory of that moment. Father, I praise you that you will be with me tomorrow when I get up and I get ready to go and render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Father, I'm gonna do it to the glory of God. And Father, you're going to do things in our lives. Out of this people, you're going to raise up an army. And I'm grateful to you for that. For everyone that sees it will know it is not us. It is you. It is you. It is you and you alone. And that's the way we want it to. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen. Shake somebody's hand and hug their neck and get a good night's rest.